I remember one time a little boy came and asked his Sunday school teacher a question about heaven. And here's what he said. He said, "You tell us that heaven is up. Is that right?" And the teacher said, "Yes, that's correct. Heaven is in the north, and so that's what the Bible says." And he says, "And you tell us that hell is below, right? It's deep in the earth." "And that's true. That's what he said." "Yeah, that's what I taught you." And he said, "So then that means that if heaven is up and earth is beneath," he said, "then that means that everybody in hell, this is their heaven where we live." And you know what? There's some truth to that in some sense. Because the people who will never trust Christ as Savior, this is the best they got. This is it. Doesn't get any better. You think about that. This life is filled with difficulties, hardships, disappointments, discouraging times. Times when you just want to quit. You just wish it'd go away. That's what Paul is writing to. He was writing about that times, those times that came in our life when, for us, we just have those struggles. And I'm going to tell you, it's just the way it is. But there's some people who never see beyond this life. This is all they ever see. They deny Christ. They deny God. For example, there's the Greek poet Aeschylus, who says these words: "There is death once and for all, and there's no resurrection." The Roman Marcus Aurelius said this. He said that death, after death, all is left is dust, ashes, bones, and stench. But I want to tell you that both of those men were wrong. The Bible says that we have eternity. We have something better waiting for us. We have something that, when you look at it from what Paul wants us to understand, you and I, we just have a great future. But for time, we are here. We're in a life that does have its problems, that does have its difficulties, and does have its struggles. And Paul's writing about that. And whether you are a missionary or a pastor or a Christian worker or a layman in a church that's serving, I guarantee you, you're going to have challenges and difficulties. The Bible speaks of that. For example, in Job chapter 5 and verse 7, here's what it says: "Yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward." John 16:33, Jesus said these words: "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Acts chapter 14, verse 22, confirming the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter the kingdom of God. So there are going to be times. There are going to be times when we want to quit. We want to stop serving Jesus, stop going to church. There are times when we just, like, I don't know how I could make it. And you know, the devil's done a really good job, because here's what he's done. He has taken for us and twisted our world in such a way that when we're under difficulty and struggles and hardships, and I think our world is a difficult world today. I mean, just it seems like no matter what you do today, anything you try to do, you have to go through hoops and hurdles, and you got to fill out paperwork, you got to have forms you got to do. I mean, just for anything anymore, even small purchases, you know. And so it just seems like that we struggle with so many things. And what happens is, now watch this, and I want you to see yourself. If this is you, it may be you, all right? You're under stress. You go to work. You work in a stressful world. and you're going all day long, you're trying to take care of this and make your boss happy and get in your projects, or maybe get your schoolwork done and get in your projects and turn them all in, you know, and then by the time the day's done, you're absolutely exhausted. And then you come home and your kids have some type of a bad mark on a grade, you know, on a grade card. Or perhaps maybe come home and you know, your dogs tore up your entire backyard. Or, you know, you have something, you come home and you realize that you forgot to turn off the water in the sink and now your entire floor is flooded in the kitchen. You know, or whatever it is. And then you got to deal with all of that. And then you're hearing that, hey, you know what? You need to stay faithful to God. And so here's what happens. We let all of those things take all of our energy and our effort away from what is the most important thing in our life. How am I doing? Because that seems to be where, that's what happens to people. And so what happens is we find ourselves so pressured by the physical that we put aside the spiritual. We let all the pressures of this world rob us of our spiritual health. And what Paul's saying is, you must understand that we, when we have all the, and here's what happens. When you have so much pressure on you, you just want to start pushing off areas where you have pressure. And so typically, here's what the devil does. He says, just get rid of God out of your life. You don't have to worry about all the other pressures. And so there's a lot of people, quite frankly, that are not here today who were here a year ago because they let the pressures of life rob them of their spiritual life. And when all of that is said and done, you know what they do? They quit on God. So they stop going to church. And it starts, it's easy, it's gradual. Miss a service here. Stop going soul winning here. Do not go out and you know, don't read your Bible anymore. You know, maybe I'll read it just sometimes, you know, just to kind of ease your conscience. And then before long, you know, you stop knowing people in the church. You start distancing yourself from that. And before long, you know, you're kind of like, well, I don't really need that. I'm doing okay without it. And then you're just out of church altogether. That's how it works. And Paul said, what happens is you're becoming spiritually unhealthy. And so in this passage, Paul wants us to realize that when we get there, and then the big word that stands before us, that Satan keeps flashing across while we're doing all this, is quit, 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 quit on God. It's almost like, you know, you get up in the morning, you turn on your computer, it says quit. You go through the day and you get a text message from Satan, here's what it says, quit. And we're all tempted to faint. I want to help you today that just to let you know that you're not the only one that's going through difficulties. You're not the only one that's struggling with problems. You're not the only one that has trials. In fact, can I be honest with you? If you feel like your entire life is filled up, full of it, you're living a normal life. You're living what God says. God's word tells us that. Now, I want to call your attention this morning to three perspectives that God gives us in this passage. These three perspectives, when you are tempted to quit, faint, if you would, that's the word faint in the passage. When you are tempted to faint, and I'm sure that Paul felt that way. In fact, if anyone had the right to be discouraged, Paul certainly did, didn't he? And he'd been beaten, shipwrecked, stoned. You know, he was a man. I mean, he was stoned outside of Lystra. You know what he did? He got up out of the piles of stone, went back in, and started preaching again. That's an amazing thing. But now Paul's aged. The ministry has taken its toll. And the difficulties have been enormous on his life. And now Paul writes and says, let me give you three perspectives. When I'm tempted to faint, and when you're tempted to faint, here's what he says. He said there are three very important perspectives that you want to keep in mind. Number one, look at verse 16. Here's the first one. We are to value spiritual strength over physical strength. We are to value spiritual strength over physical strength. And what I mean by that is that we are to value our spiritual strength as a believer in Christ over our physical strength as a man or a woman in that case. That's what he says. And he shows us how that works in verse 16. Notice what he says. Let's go back and look at it, please. Notice as he's explaining to us when we are tempted to quit, when we are tempted to back away, when we're tempted to faint, here's what he says in verse 16. He says, "For which cause we faint not." All right, here, what is that cause? Here it is. "But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." Write this one down, letter A. It's a daily process. It is a daily process. Can I remind you of this? When we came to this earth, we started dying the day we were born. Isn't it true? Have any of you noticed, like I have, that the older you get, the less energy you have? Anyone notice that? How about this? The less I can see as well. I value light a lot more than I did when I was younger. And then maybe the hearing starts going. The hair, well, you know. Can you relate? Do you feel like your body is going down? Mark? No. Of course not. He just kind of staring like, I don't know, man. I don't get that. Some people are Krypton, I guess. You know, what can I say? But the truth of the matter is, the older we get, our outward body is going down. And you know what happens? We struggle with that, don't we? Because we're like, I still want to look like a teenager. And there's only a few people like Brother Shepherd that can get by with that, right? It is so funny. One day I was in the police department, he was a chaplain police department, and one of the guys came up to me, one officer came up to me and says, "Did we bring on a teenage chaplain?" And I said, "What do you mean?" He goes, "Yeah, the guy from your church looks like a teenager." So how old is he? 16, 17? Don't worry, age is catching up with you, brother. I'll tell you that right now. Amen? But you know what I'm talking about. You're getting older, right? And the older we get, we struggle with the fact that our bodies are showing signs of aging. But that's what we are. That's we're in this body. But here's what Paul says. Your emphasis is not to be on your outward, but to be on the inward, on the spiritual part of your life. See, here's what a lot of people, if people spent as much money, time, energy, and effort on their spiritual life as some do on their physical, what a different church world we'd live in. You know, we're so hung up on eating right, eating healthy, but we junk food our spiritual life. You know, we love to, you know, man, go out and exercise, and, you know, I'm going to put in some time at the gym. I'm going to do this and do that. But what about putting in some time with God in our spiritual life? We're neglecting that. And that's exactly what the devil wants us to do, because we don't value that as much. We feel as though we're wasting our time when we are building up our spiritual life. And Paul says, oh no, you got the whole perspective wrong. Here's what God says. Don't get me wrong. That's not to say that we just kind of, you know, mistreat our bodies or we eat junk food in our bodies. It doesn't really matter. That's not what he's saying. Here's what he's saying. He says the emphasis is wrong. There's a daily process of building our spiritual life. And that's what we're to value in our life. And you say, why is that important? Because I want to tell you, when life throws its curves, and when you have those storms that come in your life, and you have those challenges and difficulties, here's what happens. It's not your physical strength that's going to get you through. It's going to be that which you have developed in your own spiritual life and your walk with God that's going to really help you through those times. The outer man is growing weaker, but by God's grace, the inward man needs to be strengthened day by day until it's like a humongous, strong, great entity in our bodies, in our lives that we can use to go through those things. Paul writes and says this in Colossians 3. He says, "And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." Paul had little concern about the physical, but great concern about the spiritual life. And that's exactly what Paul wants us to understand that is necessary in this daily process, emphasizing your spiritual walk. I wonder how many of you spent any time with God this week. I'm not talking about today. I mean Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. You say, "But do you know my schedule?" Change your schedule if you can't spend time with God. Or adjust your schedule. Or give up some things in your schedule that's robbing you of your spiritual life. What Paul's saying is we need to realize that, man, this is so vital. This relationship